Now, in the tennis last night, Ash Barty, or yesterday afternoon, Ash Barty was simply too strong in straight sets. And it's terrific to talk day three action and also preview what's going to happen on day four with Roger Rashid joining us this morning. Hello, Roger.
Morning, guys. How are we all?
Look, I know we should very well, and I know we shouldn't get too excited about Ash Barty. It's very early in the first week, but from what we're seeing, yes, she's the world number one, but she looks like the player to beat.
Yeah, a couple of qualifiers that Ash has defeated, so we'd expect her to take care of business pretty comfortably. But it's more just about the way, you know. I was talking on air yesterday, and I think that Ash Barty's probably the most relaxed world number one that the game's ever seen on the women's side. Just her composure, the way she's going about her day-to-day life, and she's just sitting in that chair, very comfortable when she gets on the court. Yes, there's a few nerves every time you walk out, and they will escalate as we go through the tournament, especially if there's there's an Osaka-Barty clash, which is looming if they both get through their next matches. So, but her tennis has been very clinical and she hasn't been pushed yet. So physically, there's a lot left in the tank. And that's the most important thing that when you're actually getting into the deeper end and you've got some big matches that there hasn't been any wear and tear on your body, that may come and play. And so she's in a good spot.
Roger, I mentioned earlier, one thing that really impresses me about Ash Barty is her interviews and her references to we rather than I. Now, a lot of people see tennis as an individual sport. We all know there's a team wrapped around the player, of course. How consistent is that in tennis? Do a lot of players see it as a team sport? Do they reference their teams very often? Because I think it's a big shift in mindset.
Look, Ash definitely goes there full-time with that. There's no doubt about that. And she obviously generally believes, you know, she's generally got a team around her that's very family. If you look at Rafa talk as well, he's generally very humble and speaks about his team. For example, there's no one in Nadal's team that has ever been sacked. So his whole career, he's had this same group of people around him. From his agents, from his physical trainer, from his physio, and he's either just added somebody in, like he has Carlos Moyer, and a former world number one and Grand Slam champion, probably about 4 years ago now. There are definitely people, a lot of players that do acknowledge the strength, you know, their team and the value of that, and then there are others that, you know, I mean, they sit in the. Their own individual lane a little bit.
Rog, Aussie wildcard Alex Vukic went down in straight sets to Radu Albot, and he certainly had his moments. He just couldn't capitalise on them, but no doubt plenty for him to learn off the back of this tournament.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, Jamie, that, you know, the big thing with playing Australian Open in five sets and the energy that surrounds a major championship is how do you navigate through it and how do you keep yourself at a level... level headed through the as you're working along. You've got to enjoy the moments, but also, you know, navigating through five set tennis matches is quite tricky. And, you know, so for Vucic, it's experience, it's development, it's a great opportunity when you get that opportunity to get involved in these occasions. And when you're a wild card, it's not just about that one experience. It's about looking at what everyone's doing in the locker room and just the ability to get on the practice court with different type of players. And so there's a lot more to just getting the main draw entry. It's a real wealth of developing knowledge that you could actually get in if you're actually prepared to take it all in. So and he looks like, you know, he's a young man, you know, speaking to him just briefly, that he's got his head on his shoulders and he does believe that he can, you know, extend his development and move up the rankings. So I look forward to watch what he does. The important thing for me is when we have our Australians that might win a couple of rounds, they get wild cards, they win a round. There's a lot of energy in the house in your own country. When you actually have to pick up your passport and jump on a plane, what do you do after that? So what's the follow-on effect after that? And is there any momentum that's gained? Because when they do jump overseas, they don't have, obviously, that same type of energy. They're not on a big court. They're on a, you know, they're on a side court and they're trying to qualify. They don't have the fan that's encouraging them all the time. So it's a completely different ball game once you pick up your passport.
Yeah, now we wondered yesterday on air with you, Rog, whether the Millman would deliver. I watched that game, and it seemed like he had a bit of a sniff in the second, late in the second set, and then Zverev just blew him away. I think it was four big serves in a row. What's next for John Millman after going down last night?
Yeah, that was a moment, but the reality is when you go play someone like Zverev, you need to bring a different type of high-energy game. You need to redline a little bit. You can't play... You know, you can start off playing your type of tennis, which John does. He's very much hits the ball cross-court. He's very predictable. So when you're predictable to a player that's third in the world and legitimately one of the favourites, it's not going to get it done. That's the reality. So unless they have a really off night, it doesn't happen very often. So yes, trust yourself early and then redline, and you need to take some high level risk. And if you lose, no point going to the locker room losing 6-4, 6-4, 6-love and saying that I hit the ball well, but I didn't do anything different than my standard tennis. I don't like that scoreline. So for John, you know, he's in his 30s now. That was the best tennis he's played in the Australian summer. But, you know, when push came to shove, Zverev could just up the ante. He could go some different gears. And so too did Rafa yesterday, who I thought played extremely well. Gael Monfils, Shapovalov, 1 in 5. Berrettini, the number 7 seed. And so there's a host of 5-set matches, some deep 3-set matches in the women's side of the draw as well. But they had their favourites that won as well. So you know, look out for young Spanish player, Paula Badosa, who's nearly 6 foot, 5'11". She's from Spain. She's number 8 seed. She hammers the ball. She's got a great mentality. And a lot of the women now just give the ball. You know, they hurt the felt on the ball. There's no doubt about that. And I really like the way she played yesterday. Naomi Osaka got through. Was comfortable early, struggled a little bit late. But and so too did a host of seeds. So there were no real upsets except Belinda Bencic, who was the Olympic gold medalist from Switzerland, who lost to Anna Samova, who's a real opportunity to win. She plays Naomi Osaka next match, so that's going to be an interesting contest between that young American and Naomi.
So, Roger, 5 Australians in action on day 4. Chris yep. O'Connell will take on Diego Schwartzman. Madison Inglis, going to be great to see her in action again against Hayley Baptiste. Sam Stosur will be in second round action against Anastasia Pavlyuchenkova. Yep. Alex Demonor this afternoon against Camille Mercer. How do you say his name? Majersak?
Yes, from
Poland.
Well,
and Nick Kyrgios, obviously the headline act tonight against Daniel Medvedev.
So if we go through those, you know, Chris O'Connell's got a hard ask, there's no doubt about that. The court will favour him. But Diego Schwartzman's a quality player. You know, if there's 4 sets there, if he can grab an early set and create some difficulty, there's an opportunity there. But you'd have to think Schwartzman. Sam Stosur, you know, she plays Pavlyuchenkova, and so... And she's 30-year-old, who's a real quality player, has been a doubles partner with Sam before. I don't think Sam can get through this one. It'd be a hell of an effort. So Madison Inglis should win her match.
Okay.
She's favourite. There's no doubt about that. You know, her opponent's 165 in the world. So there's a really big opportunity for her. She needs to keep the ball rolling after her first round win. There's no doubt that you can't. These are opportune moments, and when you actually beat the 23rd player in the world in Leila Fernandez, you need to back it up the next round. You can't then have a letdown. But she goes in favourite after that one. The Demon will win. Can't see any difficulties there with the Demon. Just think he's going to be just genuinely too good on this court, and I'd expect a 3-set win there. And Kyrgios and Medvedev, that's a big popcorn match. So put in the microwave, pop away, and then sit down and watch in Rod Laver Arena, because Rod Laver Arena last night, I was courtside, that was rocking as well with John Millman. So, and Sasha Zverev said, I'm not sure, you know, it sounds like, it's like you guys have just been let out. You know, the noise was, so it was really, you know, it was exciting. It was really good support for John Millman, and it was, and it was loud as well. So you could imagine what's going to happen with Nick, because he offers you a lot of wow on the court. For Medvedev, it's as tricky a match as you could hope for in the draw in a first or second round. And it's Nick's not, you know, he's the floater that you don't want to see near your name because he brings all the weapons. So can he win? Yes, he can. If they played 10 times, you know, I think it's sort of heavily in favour of Medvedev. But on this one-off occasion, Nick gets a lot of free points on his serve. So he a lot of free quick games on serve. He can put a lot of pressure on Medvedev's serve, especially if he doesn't find his first serve. And so there's going to be, you know, there's going to be a lot of fireworks on the court. And, you know, Medvedev will be expecting it. He'll be expecting a lot of flashy stuff where sometimes he's not involved in the rallies. But, you know, it's going to be Nick's going to need one of his best matches to beat Medvedev, because at 6 foot six, this guy does an enormous amount of high quality work from all parts of the court. And there's a reason why he's number two in the world. There's a reason why he's the US Open champion. And he's the favourite here going into this tournament.
Yes, a very short favourite with Tab, $1.13, Medvedev and Kyrgios, $5.50 tonight. Looking forward to day four action today, Roger. Thanks for joining us, and we'll chat to you again tomorrow.
Thanks, guys.